Siren FM. Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right too, it's the second Wednesday of the month, so it means it's Lincoln Inspired Day. Yay! Well, enthusiasm in all sorts of ways there. A change in personnel in many ways, because no Sarah Bullimore, she's out and about dealing with young Shakespeare people, I believe. And Michael Blackburn, our resident poet, is also attending meetings, which is fine. But Sue Royce is back with us. How are you, Sue?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex.
Excellent. And we have, of course, Lincoln's very own founder of Lincoln A to Z, the fantastic fringe event that was set up as part, indeed, of Lincoln Inspired in its original inception, the legend that is, of course, fellow Siren presenter of so many marvellous things, including, of course, the legendary book programme.
The Reading Room, Alex.
The Reading Room, exactly. There we are.
I could have let you go there.
You could, exactly. But Paul Tyler, back with us, or back for your very first Inspired on Air, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. I'm a big fan of the programme, and it's great to be on here. Thank you.
Well, it's fantastic. And let's jump straight into that whole Lincoln A to Z system, because on the programme today it's going to have an A to Z theme running throughout, because this is going to be reaching a climax on the 19th of December this year,
where that's right.
All sorts of things will be happening. Let's test Sue to start off with. Sue, were you aware of Lincoln A to Z, or for our American listeners, A to Z, of course?
Yes, I was. Yes, yeah, I heard some of the 24-hour stuff going on in the centre. That was absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
It is actually quite an astounding thing. In fact, it's so fabulous that I feel for once we're going to break all previous formats with respect to the Inspired on Air routine and actually run a trail. We're on a road
to nowhere. Lincoln A to Z.
Lincoln A to
Lincoln
Z.
Lincoln A to Z.
We've chosen 52 squares at random from the Lincoln A to Z street map.
D62. F15.
And now we've got a year to visit all 52 and make a programme about each and every one.
Lincoln A to
Lincoln
Z.
Lincoln A to Z.
Each week, we'll be setting off on our trusty bikes to find a different grid.
Lincoln A to Z.
We could find ourselves in a leafy residential area, a bustling city street,
or a completely empty field.
We'll present our findings every week here on Siren FM and our website, lincolnatoz.co.uk, as we uncover Lincoln one grid at a time.
Mondays at 9.
Siren 107.3 FM.
And of course, there was a time where you might think, oh, I missed it Monday at 9, etc. But of course, Paul, that's not the case, because there's a whole archive of Lincoln A to Z programmes that are available. Talk to us and to the dear listener about what the concept was initially in terms of... Because when you first sort of suggested it to Andrew David and I was sort of listening to the thing, I thought, it must be insane, really? it's a completely insane idea, and yet it's worked.
More by luck than judgment, which is pretty much the theme of the whole programme, really. The inception of it came... We were between programmes. I had decided that I didn't want to do the Reading Room anymore, our previous Radio Academy Award-nominated programme, which probably seemed a bit like career suicide, but I sort of turned against it, and
I picked it up on the midweek drive, Paul. Don't worry.
I took a bit of time off, and it was 2012, so the Olympics was around. Bradley Wiggins was around, and he was cycling. I went out and got myself a racer, a bit of a midlife crisis. I always fall off motorbikes, so I couldn't buy one of those. So I got myself a racer, £50 by the side of the road, and the proceeds went to the air ambulance. Fantastic. And that's always proved to me that cycling... You don't have to spend a lot of money on cycling. You can pick up a cheap bike and get out there and get doing that. We'll probably get to that later on in the programme when we no doubt talk about our cohorts Access LN6. But there was also, I was reading, I've always been a big fan of Dave Gorman and the challenges that he sets himself. And
people
there is
named Dave, for instance.
People named Dave,
or
yes.
Dave Gorman, in fact.
Dave Gorman, yeah, because there are 52, we've got 52 grids, and Dave Gorman's probably most notable first challenge where he went looking for 52 Dave Gormans.
Spooky, really.
You could say we stole that. Now, actually, it is a coincidence, because we did want to wrap up A to Z in a year. Because that was it. We wanted to do one programme a week. Actually, things didn't turn out that way. It turned out to be a lot more work than we thought it would be. When we finished the Reading Room, I wanted a programme that would take less work. I've got a young family, and you need the energy, you need the time, but you also need to distribute your time properly. Now, also at this point, I was having some email conversations with Bill Drummond, formerly of the KLF. And, of course, Bill Drummond is, well, legendary, not only for doing that song, wonderful song with Tammy Wynette, but also burning £1 million. My favourite piece of art, always been my favourite piece of art, because I don't know how I feel about it. I change how I feel about that piece of art every day. Sometimes I think, well, yeah, it's brilliant, he's just burning paper. Yeah. And then sometimes I think, he could have given it to me. So... all this time,
Sue Rice, of course,
also,
or charity,
exactly.
Or,
well, yeah, well,
do good
yeah,
things with it.
Well, yes, yeah. I mean, that was a given. I thought that was a given, so I didn't say. Went for the comedy line.
I don't think Paul Tyler has registered himself as a charity as yet, but it could happen by the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, it's on the books, isn't it? It's on the cards. So all this time, and Bill Drummond did this thing where he cut things, or he cut something up. He cut up his favourite picture, sold bits of it for $1 each, and was going to bury the £20,000 profit he makes in Iceland. And one of my ideas was to go and dig it up and pay off my debts with it. So all these things, plus listening to Ramblings with Claire Balding, contributed to the overly convoluted concept we have in Lincoln A to Z. 52 randomly selected grids, and we have to go and make a programme about each one. Johnny and I turn up there with a microphone doing the most minimal research. Johnny's usually done some kind of research. If I've done one page of Google research on my way to the location, you're lucky. But that's because we want to see it as the street.
Yeah. I mean, I was listening to Terry Wogan the other day on the radio, and he said that, you know, that's exactly how he does his programmes. He does very minimal research about it, even for children in need. Mm-hmm. He does. You know, that's a 7-hour program. He does the bare minimum of what he needs to do because he finds it. You know, things flow much better. The unexpected sounds really
risky
great.
Risky strategy, though, Sue.
It
risky
is.
Strategy.
Yes, you have to know that you can get away with it. Not everybody
technique
can.
To fall back on.
No, it isn't.
Well, of course, I mean that's great because we always pre-record, so there is a lot of waffle that doesn't make it to the grade. And of course, you know, that's fine. You know, me pointing
it's
at ducks,
the director's
for example.
Cut. Obviously, Johnny be working on that for the
well, yeah,
cut.
I'm thinking the final program. That man's got something up his sleeve. Our producer, Johnny Hall. But actually, it came to fruition when we went out and did a live grid. We were out a couple of weeks back now, and we walked around the grid in, you know, just doing it live. So when we were talking about a podiatrist, and we had absolutely nothing to say about a podiatrist, why would you? That's the kind of stuff that you know you would normally have hit the cutting room floor. But that was a lot of fun.
If you're a podiatrist, don't take the views of some of our correspondents as being sort of essential to the whole thing.
I take full responsibility for that exactly. comment, Alex. It's okay. It won't weigh badly on you.
Astounding. And clearly, the random chance, the random selection, you just came up with a grid reference and found out where it was in terms of the map that was there? Was that?
Well, we literally put things in a hat. We cut out all the grid references, which takes a lot longer than you'd think. I'd have probably done it differently if I'd known how difficult that was going to be, just in itself. And then, yeah, we went round, and this was at the time when Lincoln Inspired, you know, because let's bring that back in. Lincoln Inspired was in its infancy, and we were fundraising, and I was taking part in open mic events. And we'd go around, and we'd shake the microphone in people's face, we'd shake the hat and say, pick out a grid. And people did. And a lot of the time, people would pick out a grid with very little in it, and I would say, oh, yeah, great, that'll be a challenge. And then when, maybe a year later, when I'm stood in the middle of a field over in Swampool, I'm thinking, yes. What a ridiculous concept. Why didn't I do this? Let's go back to reviewing books.
That's very much at the heart of the whole Inspired package, though. I mean, what Sarah Bullen kind of introduced, and obviously the team who sort of worked on that, and we mentioned some of their names, etc., a whole heap of fine folk. It's to kind of say, well, look, there's so much creative material that's going on in Lincolnshire. Let's celebrate it. Sue, you're a relatively recent recruit to the whole Inspired package and zone. What do you make of the A to Z idea? I mean, from the days when you were working on other radio stations, we won't even name check them. It was up the hill.
possibly comment.
Exactly. Is it something which you think this is one of the real strengths about something like the Inspired project, the Lincoln Inspired project, to actually just go out and actually produce some really interesting stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic that you go out and where you would think that there normally wouldn't be any inspiration at all, that there is nothing. Actually, I think if you actually take a bit of time and sort of mindfulness and just stand and listen, you'll find that there are the things that you've missed before. You know, for example, walking up the high street in Lincoln, how many of us are so busy that we just walk straight up the high street and we don't really take stock of what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what's going on out there? Yeah. And it's nice that a scheme such as that sort of has the time, really. I mean, initially you think, this is crazy, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But actually when you sit and think, you're doing the thinking for other people, really, and you're bringing that out there to people and actually saying, well, look, you know, if you just take a bit of time, you might find this, and oh, what about that? It's sort of a musing on air.
Very early on, sorry, Alex, I know you come in there, but very early on, I discovered Motherby Hill, which is the right next to the police station there, the old Rivita building. And I'd never been up there before, never really realised it was there. It was in our grid, so of course we have to walk up it and describe what we're doing. And wow, what a view, what a view. If you're walking past there, take a walk up that hill, you get the most spectacular view over Lincoln.
Yeah.
Which brings us round to the unofficial theme tune that you've appointed. We heard it earlier, so your first choice of music. We decided it's your debut on Inspired On Air, so it's only right that you have a selection of musical delights, and it's David Byrne, of course.
Oh, yeah, the wonderful David Byrne, who I'm actually reading. I've just started reading a book of his about how music works. And this is a deliciously eccentric song to go with a deliciously eccentric idea. And, of course, the idea of The Road to Nowhere, when we started, this is the first song we ever played. And when we finish on, I think it's December the 8th, will be our final programme of Lincoln A to Z. It will be the last song we play, so it bookends it nicely.
See, curiously, I might have gone for Once in a Lifetime, but obviously, same as it ever was.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen. And we're not little children, and we know what we want.
Really expect big birds to come out when they have the sort of little screeches in the background there, kind of whack.
It's just wonderful, isn't it? Any song with screaming on like that is I'm all about it.
Very impressed. You're listening to Inspired On Air, the official audio companion to the Lincoln Inspired project. In case you're wondering what's happening with Lincoln Inspired, lots of exciting things, but it's in a kind of mini hiatus at present. Sarah Bullimore will be back. She's going to be talking about various sort of strategies, etc. We can say, of course, that next year, May the 6th, Paul, I'll say that once again, May the 6th, 2015, we will be hosting a Telefantasy and Society conference, which will be sort of Lincoln Inspired, also at the University of Lincoln, which may well feature Jamie Anderson as one of the keynote speakers there. So that's going to sort of hopefully kick off a sort of interesting range of sort of mini activities for Lincoln Inspired. Plus, of course, as we said earlier, we've got this fabulous exhibition that's taking place just in time for Christmas.
Excellent.
At the 19th of December, which is, of course, your very own Lincoln A to Z exposed, really.
Exactly, yeah. We mentioned earlier on in the programme that I was at the inception of A to Z. I was looking a lot at what Bill Drummond's artwork, formerly the KLF, and his site Penkill and Byrne. And I suppose I was looking at the way I sign off an email. At the minute, I can sign it off radio presenter and poet as well. I do come under the title of that, performance poet.
To break into some poetry, feel free to do so.
No, thank you. I wanted to add, I'm not in that vein, darling. I wanted to add artist to the bottom of it as well. So here we are. And do you know what? Peculiarly enough, we spoke at the very inception of Lincoln Inspired and went along with the Lincoln Inspired tag to the collection, and they said yes.
Yeah.
This is the glory of Lincoln Inspired. It's also the glory of, let's face it, Siren FM. Let's big ourselves up while we can here. I'm a factory worker from Lincoln, and here I am, you know, producing radio, very much award-winning nominated radio, and coming here. So that's the great thing about this station, but it's also the great thing about Lincoln Inspired. So we go along with the Lincoln Inspired tag and say, here we are. They've got a name. They've got a great reputation. Can we put an exhibition on? And they said yes.
Fabulous.
It really is something. Yeah. And actually, I've got an invite to opening night
for
you both here.
Whoa.
And look, it's Alex.
Oh, my word.
I would like you, Alex, because I think that is wonderful. They are one of the artists that's taken involved, because we've commissioned work all around the outside walls. We're taking the inside space for our own little bit of A to Z. And exactly, look at what you're doing there, Alex. You're trying to pick that apart. That is thick, isn't it? You can measure that invite with a ruler.
It's what I call a solid invitation. It's a proper invitation. It's the sort of thing which would make Randy Reinholtz proud.
Lincoln Inspired. is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Marvellous. Native voices from the Autry there, Andy Reinholtz with her whole routine. And yes, you are invited. Can we invite the listener? I suppose we can, really, can't we?
Not for opening night, Alex. No.
Sorry. All right.
We've only got so much catering, darling.
You're not invited. Well, fair enough then. But they will be able to see the Lincoln A to Z project, presumably after, because the exhibition itself is open from the 20th of December to the 24th of January.
That's correct.
Time to really sort of start off the whole new year 2015 with the February shooting, as you said, at the Collection, that wonderful place in Danes Terrace in Lincoln. And running, obviously, as I say, from 20th of December to the 24th of January, and works by various artists, obviously kicking the whole thing off, and go and seek it and enjoy it. Sue, will you be going?
I absolutely will. That's really exciting.
It is, yeah. It is. It's really quite wonderful. It's great to see what artists are starting to get back to me now with their interpretation, because we just kind of handed over. A lot of them were saying, well, what would you like? What do you want us to do? I said, look at the A to Z concept and come up with whatever you come up with. And the things that we're getting through are really quite exceptional. It's going to be very good, which is the challenge now for us to live up with our piece of art that's going to be in the middle.
Yes, you've thrown the corner,
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I know we've really got to up our game there. But, but the Collection as a building and as a concept. We're also going to use the sound wall as well, because every grid we've been to, we've recorded a lot of sound. And one of those grids we spent 24 hours in, so quite a bit of the sound's going to come from that. So, we're going to use that overcomplicated audio wall, but it's going to sound fantastic.
I'm almost tempted to say you're monkeying around, but no, that'll be Amy Winehouse. Would you like to cue in and explain why you've gone for Amy Winehouse as your second musical artiste? And she's up there looking down thinking, if I was still around on the planet Earth, I'd probably actually be at the Lincoln A to Z project.
Oh, do you know what? It would be the most wonderful thing. Amy Winehouse, this song, we played it. I'm always... One of my radio talents, Alex, and I'm going to blow my own trumpet here and say one of my radio talents is finding a song that sounds great out of the news, which is not the easiest skill in the world, but it's top of the hour track radio speak. I know, but people don't mind that. People
fast
like to
familiar,
be
familiar, to use the classic vernacular.
Ah, that's what I see. Right now, I'm going to go with top of the hour track. I prefer it, and this is the greatest top of the hour track ever made. So when we come out of the news every Monday night, we play this because you might as well just give up playing the rest of them.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right, too. In the studio, we have the fabulous Sue Royce, and of course, from the Lincoln A to Z project, the fabulous broadcaster and presenter, that would be Paul Tyler. Online now, a young man who's not only juggling with the wonderful public relations work and promotional stuff he's been doing for the fabulous tour of the Eva Cassidy story, but he's also a playwright and is about to have his play Testing Times, again launched into all sorts of ways. We're speaking of the fabulous Steve Burbridge. How are you, Steve?
I'm very well. I'm liking the young man bit. That's very nice of you to say.
Now, Steve, we like to think on Lincoln Inspired that it's for the whole world, not just for Lincoln, which is why we brought you in from Newcastle. It's very important, that we don't sort of, have any bias on this particular routine. But, Steve, your own view, briefly, before we start talking about testing times on festivals and events like Lincoln Inspired, which is set up very much to be an arts... Paul, share with Steve what the whole concept of Lincoln Inspired is. You can speak for Sarah Bullimore on this one.
Okay, well, Lincoln Inspired is set up really to get everybody involved in the arts and make it accessible, and by sort of promoting and advertising events and creating a festival and promoting it. Well, organically, I would say.
Exactly. Somebody put the kettle on where you are, Steve, or is it just a case of there's a jet going off in the background?
the door's open.
Ah, there you see.
There's some construction outside.
Oh, it's the sound of Newcastle building again. Fantastic.
Yeah, the roads are getting pulled up and things like that.
That's quite all right. We always wanted to actually fit in. I mean, it ties into Lincoln A to Z. You know, did you have any roadworks, by the way, in terms of
all the time? Do you know, usually the biggest sound effect we get are boy racers with booming music from their Citroen Saxos.
Oh yeah, well, other sort of techniques are available, but never mind. Moving on. So Steve,
Lincoln inspired. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It sounds fantastic. I mean, it's always good to get as many people involved in the art as possible and introduce it to as wide an arena and as wide a variety of people as possible too. And obviously, you know, with me being involved in the art quite heavily in terms of work commitments and in terms of, you know, being a playwright, then it's always, you know, you're always looking for opportunities to get that across to a wider audience, aren't you?
Yep, absolutely, and that's pretty much the sort of style we have. In fact, I'm sure there's a brand that we can connect to have Lincoln Inspired connects with Tyneside and have a sort of Linkside Inspired, or maybe Tyning. So I don't know. I'll put it past Sarah when she comes out. She might think it's a genius idea. She might think it's fusion. It's like artistic fusion. Let's talk about what we also wanted to focus on today, Steve, of course, which is testing times, and just share with both Sue Royce and Paul and myself and, of course, our listener, what exactly testing times is all about, because it's quite an interesting take on the whole HIV issue, really.
Hopefully so, yes. It basically explores the impact of an HIV-positive diagnosis on a young gay man and his partner and his family. So it's a three-handed play. The central character, Dominic, discovers during the course of the play that he is he's actually infected with HIV, and then he reveals this news to his partner, Chris, and his mother, Brenda, and we explore how that diagnosis goes down and how it impacts the family life and how Dominic learns to manage his condition and live with it and go on to sort of come out of a very dark place and go on to, you know, find his way to leading a fulfilling and happy life after, you know, after the diagnosis, which is obviously, it's essential that we stress that, you know, HIV is no longer a death sentence. It could be considered as a life sentence because obviously with the diagnosis comes medication that, you know, you're on that regime for the rest of your life. But as long as you manage the condition, you know, the way you've been advised to by the medical people who've supported you through it, then there's no reason why your life expectancy cannot be the same as somebody who is HIV negative.
It's interesting how the disease itself has kind of shifted, because I think probably Paul, maybe Sue and myself can remember the time where effectively it was a case of, well, that's it, you're finished, it's all over.
I mean, even in terminology, I mean, we don't, it's now not so much referred to as a disease, but a chronic condition. Yeah. You know, so even the terminology is less negative than it used to be.
Is the prejudice still there? Do we still get that? I mean, is that something, I mean, particularly thinking about North East?
I think it's not prejudice from a hate point of view as much these days. I think it's prejudice from a fear point of view, because I think anything, any condition that has connotations in people's minds of illness and pain and suffering and death, that you know, brings about fear, doesn't it? And a lack of understanding is what contributes to the prejudice and the stigma that's still out there. I think the stigma's slightly changed, in as much as like when HIV first came to prominence in the 1980s, in the mid-1980s, it was a different kind of prejudice, a different kind of stigma, in as much as people thought it was a self-inflicted disease that was brought about by socially unacceptable behaviour and sexual decadence, for want of a better word. And I think that understanding, that misconception has now changed, and there's a better understanding of the condition and, you know, the fact that it can affect anybody in any walk of life for any reason.
Sue?
Yes, what were your inspirations for writing it, Steve?
Well, initially it came about because I was helping out in a social enterprise in the Newcastle gay community, and the person who was running it wanted to use the space he had for a variety of different. It was at the cafe bar on one level, on the one floor, and on the floor above there was a space that could be used for a wide variety of activities, from choir practice to performance, you know, to yoga to anything really, you know. There was craft fairs held there and everything. So you had this space that was, you know, multifunctional and multifaceted, and you wanted to use that to do something that spoke to the community. And we had several ideas about, you know, what kind of performance-based production could we come up with. And we thought, well, you know, originally we discussed about perhaps the idea of doing something about HIV, and then we thought, has that been done many times before, and is that kind of is there an appetite, as it were, for wanting to watch a production about HIV, or, you know, just should we do something else instead, totally different altogether?
Mm.
And we thought that basically, just to research, essentially, that it is actually quite useful to revisit and re-educate, in a sense, the conceptions surrounding HIV, you know, every sort of decade or every generation, because obviously the condition and the way it's managed and treated now, it's constantly evolving. So that kind of there's a responsibility that goes with that to make sure that as many people as possible are aware, you know, that things have changed and things have developed, and you know, that medical science has moved on in terms of leaps and bounds, mm-hmm. in how the condition is actually controlled and suppressed, even.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I remember the TV adverts in the 80s about HIV. And you know, it was terrifying how they put it across. And you know, the image as it stands now is nowhere near what it once was. But what I noticed you said about the research, what sort of research did you go about in order to start to write into the piece?
Well, I wanted to make it as authentic as possible, and I think going back to the point you made, you were quite right there that in the 1980s with the Iceberg campaign, it was counterproductive, because it was the intention behind that advert was to raise awareness, but actually what it did is create the moral panic.
Absolutely.
And it's just came out, so I've got a little bit of a tickle, sorry. In terms of research, we want to make it authentic as possible, and make it as real as possible. So we decided to approach a couple of organisations in the Northeast to support people with HIV, and find out, to get some advice from them on how best to get in touch with people who have been diagnosed HIV positive, and to see if any of them would be prepared to share their stories, you know, under the guarantee of anonymity. And we were quite surprised that, you know, about 15 guys came forward, which was far more than we expected.
Yeah.
And they told us some very, very different stories, some quite heart-rending, some quite uplifting. And we used those interviews as the basis for the three fictional characters. So we took the experiences of about 15 people, and from that we created three fictional characters, and then explored these real-life situations through the fictional characters. Because what we didn't want to do was we didn't want anybody who may have contributed their stories to come along to the show and see their life stories on stage, because that would be a bit sort of disconcerting for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
So we did actually, you know, we'd actually take the conscious decision to ensure that the characters were fictional, but the experiences were genuine and were real.
Mm. We'll turn to Paul in a few minutes, and obviously back to you yourself, Sue, but I'm very impressed with the fact that you have that wonderful Pauline Fleming, an actress, of course, who has been Val Walker, Sinbad's fiancée in Brookside, better known as everybody's Auntie Val, Janet mm-hmm. in Emmerdale, and indeed Penny King for 3 years, Mike Baldwin's last girlfriend in Coronation Street.
Blimey.
Yeah, she's I know.
She was involved in that huge storyline where Mike Baldwin had the Alzheimer's diagnosis, and she was involved in that huge, heavy storyline, which was a great role for her. And it's a thrill for me to have such a wonderful cast. I mean, not just Pauline Fleming, who is absolutely brilliant to work with, and a great actress, and somebody who brings a lot of ideas to the table. She's very, very, very creative and a very generous actress. But we've also got Christopher Strain, who is a local actor who plays Dominic, and he's reprising the role of Dominic. He played it in the Triad last year. And we have Jamie Brown, who is another local actor in the Northeast, who's done some great work. And I mean, he's done some national tours as well. I think he did a national tour of Scooby-Doo, playing the title character.
It was phenomenal. And he's also done Hamlet. I have to say, and that's why he's going to also, and indeed as featured on our very own Midweek Drive as well, as will Pauline Fleming this very day, actually. It's very exciting. But great news. Paul, thoughts from yourself?
Well, thoughts from me. I think it's absolutely wonderful what you're doing, Steve. And firstly, I love the fact that you're inspired by the space as well. You've seen a space and think, right, that's great. We've got to do something here to reach the community. Yeah. But also, I mean, I think it's a great point about that Sue brought up about the. I'm 38 now, so I just as I was becoming a young man, I was very much aware of AIDS and looking at the and HIV and looking at the the adverts. So as I was going out and let's just say adventuring out into the world. And we all know what we mean by that, it was very much on my mind. And like you say, it's the generations now. Although it's no longer a death sentence, it's still an unpleasant treatment to have. It's still an unpleasant thing to live out your days with. So I think what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. But I suppose if I'm to ask you a question rather than just agree with you, it's probably more artistic question and say to you, the play you've written, when do you know it's finished? When do you stop? When do you stop tweaking? It's the thing with anything artistic I struggle with. When on earth is it finished? Is it to the deadline?
We don't. We are in rehearsals now and we are still tweaking away. Just to clarify, we did actually do it in a smaller space in Newcastle last time round, but this time we've actually moved it to a studio theatre, so we're trying to get that information to a wider audience because it was so well received. When it was done as a tryout, that it just sort of like demanded a life of its own. And this time, because we've got a larger stage area, and the auditorium is quite intimate, we're using that space so much more effectively than the limitations we had when it was just above a pub sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's brought a different dynamic to the rehearsal and to the way the show will be performed. It was very static in terms of it was basically the staging of it last time round was three bar stools, three actors, monologue-based performance, just sharing stories with the audience. This time we can actually recreate vignettes and important scenes in Dominic's life. So they're not just explained, they're actually acted out now, which I think gives a very different dynamic to the piece and takes it to a higher level as well.
As I said, Steve, I think we need to set the campaign going to bring testing times to Lincoln. What do you think, Paul? You think that's
yeah, absolutely. And, they're brilliant. There are some brilliant spaces that could work in here.
Yeah, and I think the story, even though it's set in the locale of Newcastle upon Tyne, it's a story that could be adapted to any city that has a gay community very easily. You know what I mean? It's very transferable from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. Which is everywhere, of course, isn't it?
Yeah.
Steve, stay with us because we've got an interesting little line there that I'm sure Paul will introduce to you. It's a little excerpt lasting 63 English seconds, which actually is entitled here as Johnny Dog Walker. Would you like to just explain how this fits into the Lincoln A to Z aspect of creativity and what we're actually about to hear here?
Okay, so part of the deal with Lincoln A to Z is we were randomly selected some grids, and a lot of the time that can mean open space. Lincoln, does have a lot of open space. One of its unique selling points, I would say, is that you're never far away from something green. The West Common, a wonderful area where Johnny walks his greyhound Albert, is a wonderful green space, but if you're having to make a radio program about it, you need some content. Luckily, Johnny and I, Johnny's a couple of years older than me now, so he's got that little bit more experience. I always have to bring that up because he's just turned 40. And
I know,
he's gone now.
Very ageist.
As I said, and Steve, I've tried to bring in the term of chronologically gifted, experientially enhanced, for goodness sakes, but never mind.
He's always got 2 years on me. So because of this, our experience and our storytelling, I suppose, evolves into something that you're about to hear.
Here's a good question for you, Johnny, and I feel like it's turned into an interview now about a dog walker, but how many dead bodies have you found being a dog walker?
I'm yet to find one. It's slightly disappointing. I did once, it was just after I got my new video camera, I came out here with Albert. And you see there were these copses, are they called, of trees, kind of clumps of trees, fenced off, little bits of woods. And I grabbed my camera out and I was walking Albert out here. And I was just playing about with it, fiddling around with the zoom and zooming in and out and focusing and stuff on some trees, pointing into one of these clumps of bushes. And then I realised that there was a young couple in the bushes, enjoying, a bit of quiet time together.
Yeah.
And I was basically standing there with a video camera, pointing it at them. And you know, he's entirely innocent, but it could have looked really bad.
So and your challenge, Steve, is to write a play just about that particular sequence, really, but still.
I wondered where this was going.
Yeah, you and me both, sometimes, you know. Where are we going? But still, never mind.
So just, that's it. That's why they put us on late at night.
Oh, there we are. A smidgen of fun and frolicsome there from, of course, the A to Z Project, which, again, a reminder, is an exhibition that will be opening at the collection in Danes Terrace in Lincoln from the 20th of December to 24th of January. And, of course, it's going to be featuring Paul.
Sorry, I was miles away then.
The opening of the Lincoln A to Z Project.
Oh, of course, yeah, at the collection. Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be making speeches, and also Access LN6 will be along us, and of course Lincoln Inspired will be there, and Ever Presence, and they'll be making speeches
Fantastic.
Too.
Fantastic. And let's promote, obviously, Steve, your own piece with respect to testing times if people are fancying heading north, because, of course, Sue, you have your twin sister in Newcastle.
I do, yes. I have her in Stocksfield, yes.
She could go along.
I also have my stepdaughter who lives in Newcastle as well, just down from the Millennium Bridge.
There's a whole connection here, yeah, in terms of potential audience,
very
Steve.
Cool.
You've
very
got
cool
some amazing venues up there, Steve. Really amazing.
So,
we're at the People's Theatre Studio, which is just slightly outside of Newcastle City Centre, but still very accessible. Mm. And it's a wonderful space. It really, really lends itself well to the piece. And we start next Monday, so, you know, if anybody's listening out there and fancies coming along to see the show, Monday the 17th to Thursday the 20th, mm-hmm, evenings at 7:30. At the People's Theatre Studio in Newcastle-upon-Tyne. Tickets still available.
Got a thing. Fantastic. There we are. You're saying excitement just coming through in every sense of the word. Steve, fantastic touch base with your good self. We will doubtless speak again. Keep on giving on. We look forward, obviously, to featuring Pauline later on another show.
Yes, she's looking forward to it too.
Marvellous.
Yes, she's looking very much forward to it.
Fantastic stuff. So for the round of applause, I think, for Steve.
Oh, thank you very much.
Great stuff.
How embarrassing.
Always important. As we'd like to say in a Depeche Mode way, cue your next choice of music, please, Paul.
Okay, so another thing that we have throughout our programme, Dave's. We have a Dave track for each programme because we do a live programme here on a Monday night. And this was designed to make sure we don't just play Depeche Mode and Smith songs all the way, you know, our own favourite music. So we've chosen a lot of Dave's. Recently we've had to play things like the Wurzels because we're running out of Dave's. But there was a Dave in the Wurzels. But very early on, of course, we played Dave Garn from Depeche Mode. And this is Everything Counts.
By the actual quality of the ticket invitation, I have to say, Paul, you are invited to the opening of the Lincoln. Very good. It's made my day, actually. It doesn't take a lot. Just a piece of cardboard. That's all we need. You know, it's a happiness.
It's a very pretty piece of cardboard.
It's a very, very pretty piece of cardboard.
And printed. And I'll name the artist there. Why not? Phil Clark, who is, I mean, he's just wonderful. He's taken the bottom wall of our exhibition. There's a danger of him knocking everyone else for six, I think. However, I've seen everyone else's artwork as well. It's a hodgepodge affair, but that's very much the nature of Lincoln A to Z, which is either an excuse or a reason, depending on your viewpoint.
Fantastic stuff. Okay, we're heading off into the, the sunset, after a fashion. Ed's Headspace is coming up next. I'll say that again. Headspace coming up next. If you're listening live, if you're not, if it's on a podcast, well, it could be anything, really. It could be what you choose, really. It could be another ticket entirely. Paul, have you enjoyed your first experience of Inspired on Air?
Of course I have, Alex. It's always wonderful to be in a radio studio.
Well, there you are, you see. Sue?
As always, pleasure.
Next, Inspired on a second Wednesday in December. So we'll be very, very close to the official Lincoln A to Z opening there at that stage. I think we'll be working through that. We might have Sarah Bullimore back with us. We'll certainly have the Inspired Quill Project from Nottingham who'll be joining us, but a whole heap of other things. Finally, a little plug for Jane Means, who will be appearing at Linden Books in the very near future, talking about gift-wrapped, practical and inventive ideas for all occasions and celebrations. As we mentioned, Headspace coming up. Sue Royce, many thanks indeed. Paul Tyler, thank you for taking part in the whole production. Sue, you wanted some take that. I don't know why we squeezed this in, but
thank you so
much. We have. Can you identify it? You know, a few seconds ago.
Yeah, it's back for good.
Yeah, there you go.
guess now it's time for me to give up. I think it's time. Got a picture of you beside me. Got your lipstick mark still on your coffee cup. I want you back, girl. Came back for good.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.